call.
Did somebody join on the phone, please?
Yes, Erin Calwara.
Okay, thank you. Okay, on the telephone, who joined, please?
Sergeant Spittler, Jay Bear.
Thank you. Okay, roll call. On the phone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Del Smith, Doug Fournier, James Nelson, Greg Eubank, Chris Martin, John Kruna, Keith Berrien, Sam Young, John Wolf, Scott Nelson, Naomi Ulrich, Erin Calwara, Mass Sergeant Spittler, and did somebody else join on the phone?
Hi, Sherry. This is Sean Kostelnik with Motorola.
Thank you. President Anchorage, I show Greg Pat, John Rockwell, Jim Goodman, Wayne Anderson, Katie Gard, Scott Stormo. Is there anybody else present in Anchorage whose name I have not called?
David Reed.
Oh, sorry. you were mixed in with the phone guys.
I see how it works.
That completes the roll call.
This is a meeting. Look what's happened.
Thank you very much, Sherry. I appreciate that. So to kick the meeting off, Katie, would you introduce you and your guest just to kind of give your role and why you're here? I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm here because it's too warm in Phoenix, Arizona, so I decided to come up to Anchorage. Nice to meet everybody. I'm Katie Gard. I am working in conjunction with Joe Pixa on the upgrade proposal for the Quantrash GTRs.
Excellent. And Wayne Anderson, Motorola. I'm with the services organization, and I'm here for, I came for the MTUG meeting tomorrow as well as Friday with Joe. We're going to talk about some satellite technology we've been working on. And I'm here today, so I thought I'd just come by and attend the user group meeting.
Well, excellent. Welcome, both of you.
Yeah.
Moving on, let's go to the approving of the February meeting minutes. Hopefully, everybody had a chance to review the meeting minutes. At this point, I'd like to have a motion to approve.
I so move. Greg Pass.
Great. Thank you very much. Jim Goodman, thank you very much for secondary. Any updates, changes, questions? Hearing none, so moved. Next on the list is the issues and review the issues and risk log. Looking at the issues and risk log, Sherry, I believe we only have one update regarding USERAC. Is that correct for the Birchfield Master Site?
That is correct.
Thank you. And then the issues, the only thing we had on record is the OMO will distribute information regarding the TUD meeting tomorrow and Friday. Any questions regarding
also
that? Yes, Sherry.
I was just going to say that's also correct.
Thank you very much. There are no action items from the January meeting, so we can move right into the OMO office overview. Del, do you want to carry that?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the 7.17 upgrade is still being worked between the state and I suspect Motorola, and so I don't really have anything to say about it. As far as I'm concerned, the upgrade is complete for the system, and the financial aspects of that could be worked out by those folks. So there's really nothing to say about there unless Scott has something he wanted to add.
Scott Stormo, anything to add?
Nope.
Okay, Dal.
Okay. System security scan, RMF, since David's there, I'll defer to him to let us know what's going on with that.
No problem. The RMF package was pushed back down to me 3 weeks ago for a few changes. Those were completed that day, and it's been sent back up. It is waiting for the security assessor to approve it again, so it'll go back up to the colonel.
Okay. Good. Sort of on that same subject, the console reboots, when we met last, we had about 16 out-of-compliance consoles, and they ultimately all got rebooted after some phone calls, et cetera, et cetera. For February, I suspect that we may be, again, falling into that situation in March. I don't know right now how many have not rebooted. I saw the help desk had sent out an email the other day requesting people do a reboot, so we'll be checking on that in a few days. But as I've said before, it is extremely important to keep rebooting those every month. Every time Motorola does an update, it's critical for us to continue to be secure to do the reboot. If all of the dispatch centers that I'm aware of have at least two consoles, they could reboot one while they keep the other one active. If there's more than that, they could do them one at a time. So it's just a matter of, at least from my perspective, of getting in the habit of doing it when you see that request from the help desk to get it done. And we won't have to keep haranguing or continually reminding people, and we also will not be exposing the system to any issues. The IC zone update, Nate is out, not available today. We have again in the operations management office trying to figure out what we're going to say in the CONOP in the verbiage that describes the current situation. There are a number of things that we're going to have to change. So, John, do you have anything in lieu of Nate being there? I don't think he's had another meeting.
No, he has not. We are moving forward with the rolling out of the IC zones. We're trying to move it past the technicians into some of the dispatch centers. We've got some feedback from, for example, MetCom that we're trying to work through. Jim, do you have any additional information at this point?
No, other than what we're trying to do with PD.
Okay. So very little update on that. No, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, with regard to the MADCOM and the dispatch centers, I saw the response by Nate that, you know, they haven't been cut out. It's just that it's a little bit early to start talking to them, and they're always welcome to look at the minutes or participate in those meetings. So if you have dispatch centers in your areas, use your council members. They are free to do that and participate, and there's always room for good ideas about how we might do this with the least impact on the system.
Thank you, Del. I could add, if you don't mind.
Yep. Go ahead.
You know, thank you. Many of the dispatch centers are included in the meeting minutes, as you know, as we have now. I mean, you know, Aaron is a perfect example. I found in Juneau that you know, we're sitting out these meeting minutes. We're sitting out the issues that come up. And I would encourage, especially at the dispatch level, because where it seems like we are not including them as much as we could, to try to reach out to your co-dispatchers and areas. The feedback I get is anytime that, oh, I didn't know that was happening type question, it seems to come from a dispatch center at the console level. I think the reboots are a good example of how we have to reach out. I know that every time we have a system patch or something like that, you know, Dell's talking to them quarterly at least. But, you know, if the Aaron's and the, you know, the Tina's and the different people in the dispatch centers.
Haven't got back to you yet. Sorry.
Could reach out. That'd be good. Thank you.
Okay.
Back to you, Dell.
Mr. Wood. You know, Mr. Woodall is not there, am I correct?
He just showed up as I was speaking.
Oh, okay. Now, the next item was the DOD infrastructure POCs. We're going to get a group together to talk about that and who we might get a hold of regarding infrastructure. Obviously, we have POCs that we get a hold of regarding the RF side of things, but I don't know that if he's got any word he wants to say on that. It was discussed at the previous meeting about putting together a group so we can identify who we need to reach out to make sure if we go to USARAC or JBear or ILSEN or somewhere, we're getting to the right person who can actually pass the message out to the people who can take care of whatever problem they're pointing out. So I will defer to Mr. Woodall if he has anything he would like to add.
No, yeah, we're working that. We sent out some correspondence asking that the agencies identify that person, and
okay,
we'll notify you when we have all that information back, and then
okay,
going forward from there, I guess you'll identify a working group or some forum by which we will meet and verify the information.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you much.
And Tim, just a question, is that basically the owners of the shelters and towers and stuff like that? Is that how you're reaching out to?
Would be the owner, yeah. What we're trying to do is get them to identify the owner or the agency that has the space that,
yeah,
with regard to.
Okay, thank you.
The approving authority, for instance, can we move a tower? Who does the repair? Who right. authorizes it? Who funds it? That sort of thing.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim.
Who do we call if we see an alarm at the site to tell them there's it's hot, it's
right.
cold, it's
yeah. Yeah, this is Dell. It's important. ALMR, me, and Tim, but certainly me, have been involved with this about almost going on 14 years here, and a lot of people have turned over during that time, and there is some confusion perhaps sometimes about what exactly the system management office takes care of. They take care of the RF equipment, but the and we will report, and they will report things that are amiss at an site infrastructure wise. But they do not do that work. There was at one point in time, they were doing some contract work like that, but that's not currently the situation. So all we're trying to do in this is to let people know what the responsibilities are and who will take care of what and get those names. So thank you much for working on that, Tim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Dale. So
annual,
one more comment on there. Suggesting to the agencies I'm reaching out to that what we would do is update the service level agreement.
Okay.
Because service level agreement defines the nature of the infrastructure, what status you should maintain it. And I think that's probably a good agreement, a good step off from there to identify who is responsible for maintaining it to the
last
agreed upon level that we identified in the service level agreement. And if there are things that need to be maintained that aren't identified in the service level agreement, it would be good for us to modify the agreement to identify those, have the agencies that are responsible for that sign that document acknowledging their responsibility through the agreement.
And as Dale pointed out, Tim, after 14 years, you know, who knows? It's like, is the agreement still active? Who's here? You know,
well, the new people probably don't even know there's an agreement.
Exactly.
That exists,
exactly. Yeah.
But there is a service level agreement that defines the quality of service that we're supposed to maintain, and then who's responsible for shelters. Who's responsible for, all the way down to wave guides and those sorts of things. But if we're missing something, then that needs to be identified, because the only way we're going to be able to enforce it is if it's written and it's agreed to. And so if we have to take the service level agreement to a memorandum of understanding level or a memorandum of agreement level, then we should do this to give it the teeth that it needs. Sustain the infrastructure.
Okay, now, thank you.
Thanks. Annual inventory confirmation. Every year, we've been doing this since the legislature audit, legislative audit. Send them out to the agencies. Sherry started it, I think, in late January, sending them out. We've got 48 back out of 130 or 31 agencies. They begin, she's sending out a reminder about every other week, and the suspense for these is April 30th. So if your agency has not, we certainly would appreciate you getting it in. It's just a matter of signing the document that we keep in the file that says you know where all your radios are, or if you don't, you've reported them stolen and made sure they're deleted from the system with the help desk. So that's usually takes a couple months to get everybody on board and get that done, but we're working through it. As I said, we've got 48 as of yesterday, I believe. The OMO February document reviews that we did, the customer SMO customer support plan, and the strategic and operational plan were reviewed annually as they are required to be. No substantive changes in those. February system metrics, there was 1,086,100 group calls, 1,963,849 in the way of push-to-talks, and 181 busies. Now, the group calls were up about 12,000 from the month before, and the push-to-talks were up about 20,000 or so. And then the busies went from 122 to 181. So it's beginning to crank up again, it looks like. We are, just as a reminder to everybody, have the airport, Ted Stevens Airport site turned off for a 60-day test period to see what impact that has on. I notified all the agencies that I could find that had access that site in the last 6 months and notified them prior to when we actually did turn it off on February. I asked again about a week later if that was having any operational impacts for anybody, and I have not received any negative feedback about that site being turned off. So I decided I'd mention that since I was talking about busies. It's a three-channel site in the middle of a bunch of multi-channel locations, and ends up being pretty busy for lots out of no particular need to do so. So that is all I have right now. John, if you, unless there's some questions about something else, something I've covered.
Are there any questions for Dale at this time? Hearing none, Dale.
Thank you. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next agenda item is the system management SMO overview. Travis is out of the office, so do we have someone else from SMO that can give us an update?
I got a hold of him, John. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. I got a hold of him. He is traveling back today, and he did not have anything he in particular wanted me to bring up regarding the system management office issues. I have not been aware of any particular issue that's come up in his absence that I thought needed to be addressed and let the user council know about. So
thank you very much.
I don't think there's anything to say.
Then moving on to the State of Alaska Department of Defense overview. Scott, you want to start?
We're still working through a lot of the FY18 deferred maintenance projects, microwave and MPLS upgrades. For those of you who have or have not heard, they're in the FY20 supplemental budget. The governor submitted an amendment for a $24 million capital request to do the Quantar to GTR refresh. So that has made it through the House. It is with the Senate at the moment. So presumably, if it makes it out of there, the funds are available sooner than FY21, since it was the FY20 supplemental. So the Motorola is working on the proposal. Supposed to be getting that sometime by the end of the month. So once we have that in hand and have money in hand, and and we'll have most of the hard part done. The work is the easy part.
Yeah, exactly.
That is it.
Scott, thank you so very much. Tim?
All right, for DOD, we're waiting on Mike Hawkinson to, I don't want to name drop here and get him in trouble, but we are waiting for him to provide a update on the contract cost for the next upgrade that is to be, again, I think in May of 21. Included in that upgrade will be the microwave upgrades that were identified, match the state's microwave upgrades that are occurring. So he has been given that information with, and so the sooner we can get that information, the sooner we can ensure that that money's encumbered in a fast moving financial world where you can get money taken from you if you're not obligating it fast enough. It would be a good idea for us to move out quickly, especially since the state will appear to have the funds to move forward on the upgrade in 21. I'm assuming that that's what we're saying will happen. So we will be pressing the pedal to the floor to make sure that services are lining up with the right amount of money to do that. And then with the operations management contract recompete that is coming up, we will expect a different cost share approach in that contract requirement. Services were told last year that there would most likely be an increase in the cost of operations management. There's two costs they have, of course, is the infrastructure maintenance that they pay and then the operations management office, which is a shared cost. And there is a new approach to the shared cost, which will occur with the new contract. We don't have those costs. The contractor is, if you don't know, if your DOD folks is going through the procurement processes now, and for pretty much a non-disclosure level of information, so not much can be said about it, other than it will be on the street pretty soon.
Thank you very much, and I think that everybody can hear the fact that Dell will be sorely missed after June 30th. Of this year, unless he decides to recompete with whoever company.
Or not come back from Jamaica.
Or not come back from Jamaica.
Well, I am concerned about that.
I can't imagine this program being anything without you, Dell.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, Tim. I didn't.
We'll handle Sherry over after.
Sherry too.
Yep. Sherry too. Yes, I'm sorry.
So, anyways, that's the update for DOD.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you both. Any questions for either Scott or Tim?
Yeah, this is Rick. I'd like to ask Tim. Meeting with Mike Hawkins up here in Fairbanks next Monday. Do you have a piece of that?
Yeah, he mentioned something about March 6th that Motorola wanted to do a presentation to some senior level individuals from the services with regard to life cycle management. So we are pushing forward with that. So I suspect that after that he'll be down here, and we'll catch up with him then. But you can push him for those numbers for the May 21 upgrade, including the microwave upgrades that need to be done. That'd be helpful.
Yeah, Roger that. I'm meeting him on Monday the 9th. I guess I don't make senior level pay, so I don't get to attend on the 6th.
I don't think there's any stopping you. You can grab your colonel and come along.
And again, I was going to ask Greg if he would update us after we're done here on the two meetings. But before then, yeah, you're definitely invited. Any other questions for either Scott or Tim? One thing I haven't, I think, heard the final answer to is, you know, your motor bridge replacements and how that's gone. Did you?
Well, there, the Army has taken some of the, has taken their own effort, is initiating their own effort to implement WAVE or some mm-hmm. portion of WAVE. J-Bear's implementation of that was denied by the Air Force with the use of the current funds that were identified for the motor bridge upgrade. When that could no longer be executed, the Air Force required those funds back. So still, we have not received the final billing from the upgrade or the reconciliation billing or invoicing, in which we believe some of the agencies will be owed money back. But certainly, on a weekly basis, the FM offices are pushing on me to push Motorola to get the invoices out because they have obligated funds that are sitting there, and we're past the fiscal year in which those dollars were obligated. So they're anxious to reconcile whether that money needs to be spent on the invoice or that money needs to be returned back to the Treasury. Certainly it is a element of contention at this point. But the Army did their own funding. They worked through that process. I'll let Rick speak to the Army's portion of that. But there is no upgrade being done to Motor Bridge. It is status quo. And we will address that in the as an option in the next upgrade requirement for those who want to come up with some other solution for existing motor bridge.
Thanks. And so, Rick, can you describe the WAVE implementation? Did you have to buy a new server? Are you trying to connect it to the core? I mean, what are you doing with WAVE? Are you connecting to AT&T?
I think we got a little lag here. I'm stepping on you. All right. What we're trying to do is replace motor bridges with WAVE. Now, once we get some type of a working architecture with that, and we've been back and forth on who we're connecting to. At this point, it's to a standalone client, so it's very, very, very simple and straightforward. Oh, well, my goodness, I got some feedback here. And then... we're buying systems that are hardened for a future implementation across NIPR, which is the non-secure network the DoD uses. But that is a planned upgrade. We also plan on adding a LMR console that will allow selected personnel to basically just key up a radio and talk over a client. So it's very simple, very edge device type applications that we're looking at using in the Army. And that's mostly to do with the Moto Bridge going defunct, getting past its service life.
Right, so you're not looking at the broadband, say, push-to-talk being connected to talk groups to replace Motor Bridge for, okay.
Not at the Motor Bridge replacement. We do look at using that for command and control as a planned upgrade, but not. I'm not talking about a big implementation. I don't have a whole lot of military command and control that I want to do over LMR.
And then just a comment on that, from the standpoint of using a mobile phone, the military uses, well, at least Alaskan Command uses iPhones. And when we went back to Air Force, big Air Force, to get authorization to use Motorola's app for Wave, it was denied because Motorola had not gone through the process of getting it certified. So because we're not the developers of the app, we can't push it any further. Motorola internally will have to go through the NIST processes to get that app certified. So what our thought process was, and why we didn't go any further with MotorBridge or MotorBridge to Wave, I think the same thing that JFair ran into is the purposes for which we were wanting to use it was to reduce senior leaders having to carry both a land mobile radio and a cell phone, which they carry both, and nug that down into just one device. However, with the Wave app not meeting the AFNET certification requirements, that's not something that will happen until that certification can be obtained. And we can, because right now you can't even put the app on the phone. So it's doesn't warrant us getting the money and going forward with that solution.
Well, thank you, Tim. Any other questions or additional questions for Tim or Scott?
Yeah, I'd just add reciprocity cuts both ways. And so if you're not doing it, then the Army's also not going to do it.
Right. And I mean, point out the Army's using it for strictly command and control on a different infrastructure.
Is Trig or Jason on the phone?
Anybody from APD or MOA? Trig, Jason?
Okay, I was just going to ask. They upgraded their Wave server, and AT&T phones have not worked on it ever since they did that. So even the little bit we were using Wave with AT&T or FirstNet style phones doesn't work right now. So I haven't heard that they got that fixed. I know
they haven't.
They have a ticket open with Motorola. So.
Yeah, because we, the global comms, have that Wave capability on our AT&T iPhones. Because ours are not secure phones like the Commander's. So we can do it. We can put it on our phone. But no, it's not working.
All right. The next agenda item is new business. Greg Eubank.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to give us an update on the MTUG under new business?
Well, very good. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we plan to have the mobile EOC out there for a tour for people to get familiar with it and see a resource that's available for people to request if they have a need for it. All they have to do is feed it fuel, and they can use it to their, to meet their needs. At 9:30 a.m., we're starting the MTUG chapter meeting, and we have a couple of high-level subject matter experts on subscriber, and also infrastructure subject matter experts. I'll be showing a lot of hands-on demonstration of several products, of which I don't have a detailed itemized list of, but along with the several APX Next portables. So it's going to be a fairly interesting and exciting presentation we'll have. On Friday, of course, there's the 10 a.m. life cycle analysis being put on for the state and for the system owners, and then a 1 o'clock p.m. satellite backhaul. Now on Thursday, of course, there also will be a lunch provided. That's about it.
Greg, you want to tell us the location?
It's at the Palmer Fire Training the fire training center at 645 Cope Industrial Way, across the street from Station 636.
No, that's for the Thursday MTUG meeting. The Friday meeting?
Friday meeting's at the Tudor Road conference room.
Okay. Excellent. Any questions for Greg regarding either one of those two meetings? Greg, thank you very much. Any other new business?
John, this is Sherry.
Yes, ma'am.
I just needed to add in during roll call, I did miss Mike Lawton, who was on the telephone, and Dave Jones also joined after the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. So the next item is next scheduled meetings. I have them scheduled right now for April 1st and May 6th. Any objections? Around the table? None on the phone? All right.
I think we brought this up last time, but April 1st is a few people in the IWC. Dale and Travis list are canceling. Dale, are you still going to IWC?
Dale, if you're talking, you're on mute. Okay.
So we can either do it then or just see if that's worth sliding it a week or not.
Anybody opposed to just keeping it on the first? Even though that Dell and Travis might be at IWCE, unless there's some virus here.
Yeah. Dell plans on calling in.
Thank you, Dell. It's amazing how Sherry can just read his mind and.
And she is the mind for Omo.
Well, those around the table know that. Okay. Well, nothing else then. Move to adjourn. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. This is Naomi. I had an update on the Zone Core, the Zone 2 core issue that we had. Last month, I gave an update on the zone controllers and the defensive code that we were writing to recover them going forward. But we still had the original issue of the VMS servers that locked up. And we investigated that with VMware and our product group. And what we found was that there was a bad driver in it. And so we are currently testing that on our platforms here to then write another MTN to get that updated on the systems.
Wonderful, Naomi.
So I think that closes out.
Have those been applied against our systems yet or not?
They have not been released yet. So we've identified the issues and we are in the process of writing the bulletins to then apply. So there should be no more updates from me, but the technical team will apply them when they're done. And then at that point, could we go ahead and close the case?
I would think so.
Yeah.
At that point, that it's done.
Right. Once they apply the patches, they're our quarterly rollovers.
Okay.
Naomi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Move to close.
Jim Goodman moves to adjourn. Can I get a second?
I second.
Great, Pat. Thank you so very much.
It's the only reason Greg and I show up now.